Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, looking forward to week one, meaningful football. Bills, Jets, a game you can hear right here on ESPN Rochester with pregame starting at 9. By the end of this conversation, I'm sure we'll be having the Jets in the Super Bowl. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential, joining us here in the sports bar to talk some Bills and Jets. Dan, how are you?
Good. I didn't realize how big you guys are in Batavia.
Oh, well, of course.
All these commercials from Batavia. I didn't realize that the sports bar was big in that town as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know that there's plenty of places that we can go to Batavia the next time you're up around this way, Dan. I mean, we've got the Batavia Downs and Eli Fish. I mean, all these great places to go.
Well, I think we would get a drink over Eli Fish and then go over to Thurman Thomas's sports bar.
We
could split the festivities.
Dan, you're missing out on life in Western New York. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential editor, Bills and Jets Sunday. What do we expect out of Le'Veon Bell? I mean, it's hard from where we sit to kind of figure out how much he'll be used. But, Dan, what's your best sense here after we didn't see Bell at all in the preseason?
I think that it won't be a full load because the guy has not played in a football game in a couple of years after sitting out last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the contract dispute, and then he didn't play in the preseason this year for the Jets. So I don't think it would be a smart plan to, you know, give him 25 carries and have him haul in 10 passes. So I think it'll be a decent-sized workload, but not the workload you might see later in the year. But I do expect him to be prolific in the passing game. He is such a good receiver out of the backfield. I mean, that's well documented. 85 catches the last time he played in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He runs routes like a receiver. He's got the hands of a top-shelf receiver. So I would expect this player, if he stays healthy, to come close to 100 catches this year.
We could talk about, you know, the talent on both sides of the ball for either team, but when I kind of distilled down this matchup on Sunday, it feels like Le'Veon Bell is on one side and Tremaine Edmonds is on the other. I mean, could this be what this comes down to, is Bell catching balls out of the backfield and Tremaine Edmonds' ability to react to Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I think so. Edmonds is a very good coverage linebacker, as you guys know, and I'm sure he'll be lined up over Le'Veon when he comes out of the backfield quite a bit. But let's not forget the Jets have another running back who they intend to get very involved in their passing game in Ty Montgomery. And Adam Gase is a very creative offensive play caller, and he is so excited about having Le'Veon Bell and Ty Montgomery, two excellent receiving backs coming out of the backfield.
Is that kind of going along with what we saw in Miami? Because that was one criticism of Adam Gase, that it was just always a platoon with him down in Miami. Dan, I'll ask the question here in a different way. Is this Jets offense basically the Miami offense that we saw last year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of that. I mean, we'll see once the game starts. But when you look at Adam Gase, he's a guy that used a lot of different running backs down with the Miami Dolphins, and that's why there was some speculation that perhaps he thought that the former GM, Mike Maccagnan, who was fired by owner Christopher Johnson in the middle of May, there was speculation after Maccagnan was fired, there was some reports that, especially from Ian Rappaport, that Gase thought that Bell was overpaid. Because when you look at Adam Gase's history down in Miami, he got a lot done with running backs who are not making a lot of money and weren't necessarily high draft picks.
Hey, Dan, do us a favor and tell us a little bit about how the preseason looked for the Jets. We didn't get to see Bell, but what did we get to learn about the New York Jets based on their performances preseason? I know it's meaningless football, but you can see glimpses of what, you know, the potential could be for the regular season. Did you learn anything from the preseason?
Well, it was hard to learn a lot about their offense because Le'Veon Bell didn't play. You know, Sam Darnold played on a limited basis, and the center, Ryan Khalil, did not play at all. So, you know, you talk about baseball up the middle, right, as far as being an important thing. Well, the starting center didn't play, and the starting running back didn't play. So, you know, a lot of that up the middle stuff is a question mark. Now, Ryan Khalil, if he, you know, comes in and plays like he did in Carolina, where he made multiple Pro Bowls, that could be a great catch for the Jets, getting him to come out of retirement. But, you know, even Ryan Khalil was saying that this could take some time. So he was, you know, kind of trying to lower the expectation bar early in the year for what to expect from this offense. But I think this is an offense that will get better as the year goes along. On defense, turning back to offense, they also had other linemen out, not just Ryan Khalil. Kelechi Assembly, the left guard, missed a lot of time. Brian Winters, the right guard, missed a lot of time. So it's a real mystery what to expect from this Jets offense with so many players not playing in the preseason. Defensively, big question mark at corner, and they didn't look good at corner in the preseason, but their number one corner, Tremaine Johnson, was out the last few weeks with a hamstring injury. So it's hard to tell a lot about this Jets defense with Greg Williams putting in a new system and their corners, you know, having so many injuries as far as those guys not playing a lot.
From the Jets' perspective, is that the number one fear in this game, that with the Bills now having some new burners with John Brown being on there, you still have Robert Foster hanging around? Is this a Jets secondary that you think is going to be tested early on in this game?
No question about it, because when you look at the top three corners, you're talking about Tremaine Johnson, who signed a big money deal, you know, in the 2018 offseason and then had an up-and-down season. And the thing about Tremaine Johnson is he's a very good corner. He's got good ball skills, and he's got good technique, but he's not a burner. And you mentioned John Brown. If they get John Brown deep on Tremaine Johnson, that's something they would look to do if you look at the Bills. But when you look at Tremaine Johnson, he ran like a 4.61 when he came out of Montana, and that was like 8 years ago. So he might not even be that fast now. The slot corner is an upgrade when you look at Brian Poole in the nickel slot corner position. But while his instincts are a lot better than the guy he replaced, he's also not a burner. So that's the guy they might want to look to go deep on. The burner in the top three is Darrell Roberts, but he might be a stopgap starter at the number two corner spot. You know, I think I was looking at Darrell Roberts in the fourth preseason game when he wasn't dressed and he was on the sideline. I'm like, this is probably the first time in Darrell Roberts' life that he was given off the fourth preseason game, because before this year, he was more of a fourth or fifth corner.
Dan, what about on the offensive side of the ball? I'm curious about the health of Robbie Anderson. How's the wideout looking for Sunday?
Yeah, he looks fine. I think that was just discretion being the better part of valor when they pulled back on him late in the summer with a minor leg injury, but he's been full go, you know, last week in practice and this week in practice, so I don't think that's an issue right now.
Talking to Dan Leberfeld, publisher of Jets Confidential, we had a little story up here in Buffalo about, you know, what does the first depth chart mean when it's released in the notes about what's going to happen to the Bills' offensive line. I saw there was a note regarding the Jets and Quinnen Williams not being listed as the starter. Dan, is there anything to that? And I guess to ask the question on a broader scale, you know, how did Williams fare in his first camp, the number three overall pick of the Jets?
Well, I think it's a positive thing. I know that might sound strange, but it's a positive thing that Quinnen Williams was not listed as a starter, because the previous two regimes, as far as the GM and coaches, there was probably too much anointing going on where, hey, you're picked in the first round, that means you start immediately. No, pump the brakes on that one. You got to earn the opportunity to start. It doesn't matter where you were picked, and Quinnen Williams was the third pick overall in the 2019 draft. Very good prospect, but he's not ready to start right now. So they'll have a role for him. He'll play plenty in situational packages. But I think it's a positive that the Jets said, you know what, let's let him earn his starting role. Let's not just hand it to him.
Dan, Andre Roberts was an all-pro returner for the Jets last season and comes to Buffalo in the offseason and looking forward to playing his former team twice a year. He ends up on the injury report today for the Buffalo, didn't participate with a quad injury. I'm curious as to how his time in New York ended, why it ended, and what the Bills might have. I mean, from the looks of the training camp, that Roberts could be somebody they actually lean on as well in the passing game, not just in the special teams game.
Yeah, he's an underrated receiver. He's not just a returner who's an emergency receiver. He can go out there and do a nice job as a receiver if he's asked to do so. Two real mind-boggling personnel decisions that happened right out of the gate in March when the offseason started in the NFL calendar year. The Jets decided not to re-sign their Pro Bowl kicker, Jason Myers, who went to Seattle, and they decided not to re-sign their Pro Bowl kick and punt returner, Andre Roberts. The Roberts one was probably even more of a head-scratcher than Myers because Seattle gave Myers big money for a kicker. Now, I would have done it if I were the Jets because I think once you have a kicker who showed he can do it, you might as well pay him, and the Jets had a ton of cap space. Roberts did not get a fortune from the Buffalo Bills. It was a nice contract, but it wasn't one of those deals where you say, you know what, that's crazy. We can't match that. My theory on that is that Mike Maccagnan, the former GM, was kind of a moneyball guy related to certain positions, and he just didn't believe you paid kickers and you paid kick returners. But you know what? The Jets had only two Pro Bowls last year, and these were those two guys. Jamal Adams also, I should throw that in there. But two of their three Pro Bowlers were let out of the door real fast in the offseason. Roberts made no sense. He was special as a return for him last year. And, you know, the fact that he's on the injury report, I would expect him to play because last year he was on the injury report a lot, but he always, always showed up on game day, no matter what he was listed with.
Catching up with Dan Leberfeld, the publisher of Jets Confidential, Bills and Jets Sunday at 1 on ESPN. Dan, when we talk every year, it seems like I ask you the same question or variation of it. Give me your state here of the AFC East, and it's always, is this the year in New England? But certainly you've seen some improvements with the Jets, seen some improvements with Buffalo. I'm not sure what the plan is in Miami. Well, we know what the plan is in Miami. It's just not going to help them this year. Dan, how do you think the AFC East plays out this year?
Well, I think New England's going to win it again. When you look at Miami, we all know what's going on down there. They're trying to reboot their football operation and bring in a ton of new players. Now, the thing about tanking is I never totally buy tanking because the coaches are still going to work 16 hours a day on the game plans, and the players aren't wired to tank. So they'll win here and there, but they're certainly not going to challenge for the division title. Buffalo, I just don't. Here's the deal. Tom Brady, until he shows signs of slipping and not being the same Tom Brady. It's a quarterback-driven league. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Sam Darnold and Josh Allen are promising prospects, but they're nowhere near Tom Brady's level yet. So as long as Brady is Brady, you got to go with the Patriots in this division. Josh Allen and Sam Darnold are very exciting prospects, but they both still have a lot of work.
And Dan, I mean, based on what we saw between those two quarterbacks when they met last season, in their one meeting last season, I mean, this could be, I mean, we could be, you know, it could be a privilege to be able to watch these two guys battle it out twice a year for many years to come.
Yeah, it could be a situation like that. But to me, you know, I'm still in the Missouri mode here. You know, show me. I'm not into anointing oil, and I just feel like sometimes with young quarterbacks in our culture now, people get ahead of themselves. I love both prospects, don't get me wrong, but they both have a lot of work to do. And let's not forget, in the case of Sam Darnold, he had a new playbook thrown at him in year two, very complicated system that Adam Gase uses. So he's still trying to get comfortable in that. Josh Allen has the advantage of coming back in Brian Daboll's system in year two. But when you look at quarterbacks entering year two, with all that film and tape that opposing defensive coordinators had to break down in that offseason between year one and year two, there can be a sophomore slump with some quarterbacks, not all. So you got to be aware of that when it comes to Darnold and Allen. Can they avoid the sophomore slump based on opposing defensive coordinators having a ton of film to look at and picking up on some tendencies.
So what are Sam Darnold's weaknesses, or what are things that he needs to work on? I mean, we're pretty well versed up here about Josh Allen's pros and cons, but Sam Darnold, Dan, what would be your concerns heading to year two?
I would say the biggest thing is the fact that sometimes he gets fixated on his first read, which is very common with young quarterbacks. I'd like to see him smoothly go through his progressions better, you know, get to 1, 2, 3, check down to the running back. I see too many times when he's staring down that primary and going there come hell or high water. So he needs to work on that. But the thing about the guy is, if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I don't necessarily want to get in his face and have him escape. I know that sounds weird because you want to get a pass rush, but when the play goes off schedule, the guy's brilliant. It's almost like he's better when the play breaks down and he can improvise than going with the designed initial play.
Dan, before we let you go, can we trouble you for a prediction on Sunday's game?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with the Jets in a close game, and I think it'll be a low-scoring game because I think you got two superb defensive coordinators. When you look at Greg Williams for the Jets and the combination of McDermott and Leslie Frazier for the Buffalo Bills. So I think both young quarterbacks will have a huge challenge Sunday as far as the defenses they're facing. So, but I think the Jets at home opener, all the excitement with Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell and all the new parts the Jets have when you look at their team. And the Bills' offensive line problems, not a great situation against Greg Williams' attacking defense in week one, trying to figure out who's going to play what position and how that unit will come together. So I'm going with the Jets in a low-scoring, close game.
Dan, as you know, we're very provincial here in Rochester. Jets Confidential, owned by a Rochester company, or published up here. Dan, tell everybody how people can get their hands on it.
Yes, we've been in Rochester from day one, like a quarter of a century ago. 1994 was when we basically started, and we've been in Rochester the whole time. But I don't know, we might move to Batavia after hearing all your ads. I mean,
it's a thriving metropolis. You could do a lot worse than moving to Batavia, Dan, let me tell you.
Yes, so if we don't move to Batavia, we're going to stay in Rochester. And anyone that wants to subscribe to Jets Confidential, a monthly magazine about the Jets, they can call 1-800-932-4557. That's 1-800-932-4557. Or they could subscribe on our website, JetsConfidential.com. I know it's a New York Jets magazine, and the Jets are in New Jersey most of the time, but we are a Rochester-based company. Not Batavia, Rochester.
And Dan, go ahead and plug your Twitter feed and where we can hear you as well.
Yes, my Twitter feed is at Jets with an S, at Jets Whispers. And I can be heard on the radio every Saturday with another Western New York guy, Vic Carucci, on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88, from 11 to 2 on the show Press Coverage.
Dan, always the best. Appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to having you come back to Rochester sooner.
I felt like Ron Paul Peel plugging all this stuff the last couple minutes.
That's what we do, Dan.
He is the Popeil pocket fisherman of NFL beat reporters for the New York Jets, Dan Leberfeld. Appreciate the time, Dan.
Anytime, guys.
You got it. He's the best. Feeling good about the Bills after that conversation? He always paints a rosy picture for the Jets.
He didn't have the Jets beating up the Bills, though.
I do think that would be a surprise.
That would be.
If you see the Bills come out flat the way they did week one last year and the Jets just throttle the Bills, that would be a surprise.
He is right, though, about Donald and the improvisation, because I think that's what won him that comeback game in December nobody was paying attention to. You realized, oh, he's got that skill. So where you're worried about Edmonds, yeah, Edmonds worries me. Lorenzo Alexander on the outside, okay? And Matt Milano, who's normally good. It's the linebacking core for the Buffalo Bills that has to do their job this game.
We've got some takes on the way next. I'll drink to that is what it's called in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia. Some takes on tap.
All right. I've been picking one game per week. It has come to this. Mike Danger. Tomorrow night!
Don't you put that evil on my Chicago Bears.
Green Bay, Chicago. Will I masterstroke the Bears?
Don't you put that evil on me.
And look, I'm going to call it as I see it for tomorrow night. I'm not sure if you're going to be happy or upset with me, but I really don't care. I'm going to give you what I think is going to happen tomorrow night. And one guy is getting killed on ESPN for a take, and not wrong. I mean, the way it came out, kind of wrong, but overall, not wrong.
Yeah, Spain unloaded on him last night
on
Spain and Company.
Oof.
If the rumors are true, I'm going to tell you why I'm excited about the upcoming NFL halftime show at the Super Bowl in Miami. Yeah, it's the season hasn't even begun. We've already got rumors of who the Super Bowl halftime performer could be.
Lil Yacht Rock? Steely Dan?
No. I'll explain. And an underrated food that I want to pay some respect to in my non-sports take today. That's all coming up. I'll drink to that in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.